Another deadline is looming for President Bush. By Wednesday, he must decide how far he will go to rescue the struggling American steel industry. The companies and workers are demanding a 40% tariff on imported steel. They say that without it, 300,000 steel workers could lose their jobs and Republicans could lose elections. But imposing such a stiff tariff could sabotage future trade talks and infuriate key U.S. allies. NPR's Kathleen Schock reports.
In the past 3 years, 31 steel companies have filed for bankruptcy protection. Steel prices have slumped to a 20-year low, and steel workers fear time is running out. Yesterday, thousands of them rallied near the White House. Like many, Subi Suvo rode a bus all day to get here. He lost his job in Indiana 3 months ago when LTV Steel went under.
Miserable. Can't find a job anywhere. I got four kids. Married, got house payments, and I don't know what to do.
LTV retiree Larry Rodriguez from Pennsylvania is also worried.
My medication runs about $700 a month, and if I lose my health benefits, I'm in bad trouble.
The president of the Steelworkers Union, Leo Girard, stood on the stage with lawmakers and industry leaders and demanded relief.
The steelworkers and the steel companies they represent are amongst the most productive steel workers in the world. In a so-called free market, we ought to be the winners. But we're not the winners when the rest of the world has a global overcapacity and we're seen as the world's patsies.
Girard and others urged President Bush to finish what he started when he asked the U.S. International Trade Commission to investigate the link between imported steel and the industry's woes. Last year, the ITC recommended tariffs ranging up to 40%. Congressman John Dingell, a Democrat from Michigan, told the crowd only a 40% across-the-board tariff on imported steel will give the industry the breathing space it needs.
Let's hear it as loud as you can because I want George Bush to hear it.
40% for 4 years. 40% for 4 years. 40% for 4 years.
The Bush administration has reason to listen. Steel states like Michigan, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio will be battleground states in future elections. The steel decision could help decide which party controls the House of Representatives and who wins the next presidential election. But tariffs would come at a price. Steel-consuming industries in the U.S. say they would raise the price of everything from cars to appliances and make U.S. manufacturers less competitive. Economist Gary Huffbauer is with the Institute for International Economics.
My guess is it's about the same. It's about a wash. You may save 10,000 jobs in the steel industry and you lose 10,000 downstream. I don't think you either create jobs or destroy jobs overall by protection, but what you do is make the economy less efficient.
Huffbauer contends a tariff wouldn't solve the steel industry's problems either. He says a lot of competition is domestic. Older integrated mills that make steel from raw ore are losing out to smaller, newer mini mills that turn scrap steel into finished products. And he says tariffs won't save the many pensioners whose firms are already bankrupt.
They are not going to pay those pension obligations that they promised or those health benefits. They are closed forever.
But a 40% tariff could cut steel imports in half and hurt U.S. allies around the world. William Eberle is a former U.S. trade representative.
There will be retaliation immediately. They will take us to the WTO, and we're wasting our time because that's not going to be a solution.
Eberle and European Commission delegation representative Gunter Bergquist say the solution is for the U.S. to close uncompetitive mills.
We have had these kind of situations in the European Union, and we found ways to handle them without imposing import restrictions.
Trade officials fear new import curbs could hobble U.S. negotiators as they push other nations to knock down their own trade barriers. President Bush could compromise at something less than what the industry wants, but that may end up pleasing no one. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.